Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. Again, my name is Tom Haynes. I'm your host. And today I'm going to answer the question, what is it like to work in a tower? Okay, those of you that have listened to the introductory podcast, I have 12 plus years working in FAA and federal contract towers, about 9 in the FAA and almost 3 in the contract tower. And combine that with about 17 years in working in a center. And so this week's episode, or today's episode, we're going to talk about what it's like to work in a tower. And then the next episode, I'll talk about what it's like to work in a center. And then I think the episode after that, just going to combine the two, talk about the positives and the negatives in both. So that's what's coming up. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk about what it's like to work in a tower. So to start off, kind of an overview of what happens in a tower, what you do in a tower. So the tower is actually at the airport, okay? It handles all the traffic in the air, obviously, that's landing and departing at the airport, and all the traffic on the ground. I mean, the airplanes are parked on ramps, and they have to get from there to the runway, and then from there up into the air. And so you've got several positions at every airport in every tower. And they all start with, you know, one called clearance delivery. Now, clearance delivery gives what are called IFR, instrument flight rules, clearances. When I worked at Dallas Love Tower, we had a clearance delivery position that was open all the time. And that was their only job, was to give clearances. But they had to know we had a letter of agreement with DFW TRACON, and all our departures based on where they were going and what type they were, whether they were a prop airplane or a jet airplane, they got different headings, different clearances. And so you had to know all that to work clearance delivery. And so initially, if an airplane is, say, wanting to go from Dallas Love to, we'll pick someone place close, maybe Little Rock. And they're going to call clearance delivery and get their IFR clearance. And then once their passengers, or once everybody gets there and they're ready to go, they would call up ground control. And ground control, as the name implies, handles aircraft that are on the ground, taxiing around. It handles, it could be airport tugs that are towing airplanes. It could be airport vehicles that are around on the different taxiways doing things. Where I am right now at a federal contract tower, we have quite a few tugs that are towing airplanes from one hangar to another on the airport. And so they would call ground control. And the pilot of an airplane is going to call ground control when they're ready to taxi out and go to the runway and take off. And so that's what ground control does. And depending on the airport, ground control can be the hardest position in the tower. Not at the towers that I worked, but say you're at DFW, big airport, like that, ground control is responsible for getting aircraft to the runways that they need to be based on what direction they're going. At Love, we basically put north and eastbound jets on the eastbound or on the east runway, and we put the west and southbound jets on the west runway. And that gives the local controller a chance to get as many airplanes out in as little time as possible, because the departure controller, which is at a different facility, he needs those aircraft to be on routes that separate and go different directions. And so at Love, that was ground control's job, was to make sure that the right airplanes going on the right routes got to the right runways. And so, you know, it can be a big job. At some airports, checking out, getting certified on ground control is the hardest position to get certified on. Like I said, it was not that way at the facilities I went to. When I was at Brownsville, ground control was very easy. We didn't have a whole lot of traffic. And when I transferred to Dallas Love Field, it didn't take very long to check out on ground control. It just, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes it can be crazy. Most of the time, ground control is not that bad. At the contract tower where I work now, ground control is pretty much considered a break. Local control does all the work. Ground control is considered being on break. So that's clearance delivery, ground control, where I am now. Those two positions are combined. And so whoever's working ground is also doing the clearances. And that happens a lot in smaller towers and less busy towers. The busier they are, the more they're going to split up the duties that everybody, that each person has to do. And then we get to local control. Now, local control is basically going to be the tower frequency. If you're a pilot, that's when you're talking to tower, you're talking to the local controller. And they're in charge of the airspace that the tower owns. They're in charge of clearing people to land. They're in charge of clearing people for takeoff. They're in charge of runway separation. And then at some of the larger airports, for instance, DFW, where they have parallel runways on both sides of the airport, both the east side and the west side, local control actually begins taxing the arrival aircraft in. They will actually cross the runways on local control's frequency, on the tower frequency, and then local will switch them to the ground controller. And that is something that they've come up with probably within the last 25, 30 years. It wasn't always that way at DFW. And sometimes they would have ground control trying to cross a runway that local had a guy taken off on. And so in order to reduce, they call those runway incursions, in order to reduce the runway incursions, they just had local control keep them until they crossed all his runways or her runways, and then switch them to ground control. There's a lot less coordination going on, and it's a lot safer. So those are the main controller positions in a tower. You have clearance delivery, ground control, local control. And at some towers, and Love included, you have a radar position. They actually own airspace around Dallas and around the airport. And they handle a whole lot of helicopter traffic, a lot of care flight traffic, and stuff like that. And so when I was at Love, it was split off. We worked a lot of traffic watch during rush hour. And so they would split it off into a separate position working the radar. They, from what I've heard, Love doesn't do that very much at all anymore. I've been told it's mainly around Valentine's Day and maybe July 4th when there are a lot of tours going on. But they tend to work the radar position from the local control position. And so that does happen, where you have one person that's working multiple positions in the tower and multiple frequencies all at once. So that's just kind of a not so brief overview. And then what a typical shift looks like. Well, that is really facility dependent a lot. At Love, for instance, you would, on your first day of your week, you're going to come in and work an evening shift, probably around 1:30, 2:30, something like that, and you work till 10:30 at night. And before you actually get on position, you'll get a weather briefing. You may get another briefing from your supervisor if anything's changed or if there are any, you know, certain things going on during that shift that they want you to know before you get on position. They'll let you know that. So that's kind of pre-shift before you actually get on position. And then you're going to, the supervisor will tell you which position you're going to go to. And you go to that position, you stand there, you plug in your headset, you stand there, and you get familiar with what's going on. You check what flow you're in, south flow, north flow, and in the case of George Bush down in Houston, east and west flow. It just depends on the airport. But so you're going to get a preview of the position, and then you let the controller you're giving a break to, you let them know that you're ready for the briefing. They hit a button because all the briefings are recorded now. They didn't used to be, but they are now. And so you get a briefing, and they go through a formal checklist briefing that is very well thought out and covers all the information that you need in order to work that position. And so there'll be a different briefing checklist for local control, for the radar position, for ground control, and for clearance delivery. And they cover different things. And that's needed, and that's good. And so once you get that briefing, you'll tell them, I have the position. Okay, so you sign on, they sign off, they hang around just to make sure that they haven't forgotten anything, and then they go on break. Now, in the FAA, you may work position for up to 2 hours. And that's it. You're going to get a break. You're going to get at least offered a break at an FAA tower within 2 hours. That's one of the FAA's rules. They've figured out with doctors and all sorts of people who know a lot more about it than I do, that after 2 hours, you tend to get a little bit less sharp. Let's put it that way. So you're going to get a break, and someone's going to come up to you, and you're going to go through that whole process of briefing and letting them know what they need in order to give you a break. And then you're going to go on a break. The time that you're on break varies. When I was at Brownsville, we were very overstaffed. You would get a very long break. I won't go into detail on how long very long is, but it was very long. When I was at Love, we were not overstaffed, and you might get a 17-minute break. And yes, I do mean 17 minutes, not 20, not 15, 17 minutes. And then you would be back upstairs. And then you would get a 30-minute break for dinner or lunch, whichever it was. And they didn't require you, they didn't want you to work or to eat while you were working. Okay, so you would get a lunch break, and then you're going to get another break later on. So that's a basic shift at a tower. And you may work every position in the tower during every day, during each day. You're not going to stay on one position all day and just work that one position. So it really, the scheduling, the hours on position, you know, it's not that bad in the FAA. Federal Contract Tower System. Well, that's a totally different animal that we'll go into possibly on another episode. So, the challenges of working in a tower, it can be high stress, and it does have its moments. Even in the contract tower where I am, which technically doesn't work a whole lot of traffic, but we have our moments. And we recently had a big football game in town, and that brought a lot of airplanes to our airport that normally don't come to our airport. And so you have all these jets and very fast prop airplanes mixing in with our normal assortment of student pilots in Cessnas, student pilots in Archers, which is a small Piper airplane. And it does make things a little more stressful. And so you're going to have times like that. And then you're going to have times when weather impacts the airport. And weather can impact you in different ways. Sometimes it makes your job a little bit harder at the tower. And sometimes it means nothing moves at the airport. You know, when there is a thunderstorm over the airport, nothing moves at the airport, which means local controller is not doing anything. The ground controller is not doing anything. Clearance delivery is probably fairly busy because he's also making the ATIS, which is the automated terminal information system that broadcasts the weather that we get. We have at the airport that I'm at now, we have automated weather instruments that give us real-time information about wind speed, temperature, dew point. It has instruments that detect clouds and whether it's a scattered layer, broken layer, you know, overcast, things like that. And so we have up-to-date weather information. Now at Love, when I was there and realized I was there 25 years ago, and even then they were starting to bring in Doppler radar that would tell us if there was wind shear anywhere on the airport. And so that technology has been around for that long, and it is amazing to watch. So you have to deal with weather. You have to deal with the fact that the wind direction and speed changes. And so you're always communicating that to the pilots as much as you can and letting them know what is going on at the airport. And then you're always communicating with the other controllers, with your supervisor, about what's happening with the weather, what's happening with the wind. We need to change from a north flow to a south flow. We need to, in the case of Love Tower right now, they have a runway that's closed for construction. That adds a lot of stress. So you have things like that happen. You have emergencies. You have to deal with it. And initially when you get into this career, it's not easy to deal with emergencies. And sometimes it's not even easy to know how to help the pilot. But as you have some years under your belt, as you get more experienced, it does become easier. So it can be challenging to work a tower. You're not going to work as much traffic as a radar facility. You're not going to work as much traffic as a center. But you're still going to have those moments that make you think, and you have to make decisions, and you have to make decisions quickly. You can't try to figure out the perfect thing. You just have to make a decision and make it work. And sometimes it's not the right decision, but you have to make it work. You have to make some more decisions to make it work. That's the thing. You don't give up. You never ever give up as a controller. And it's that way in the tower. You have a lot going on, a lot that you're considering, a lot that you're processing in your mind. And if that is what you like to do, then hey, this is the job and the career for you. I personally love it. I love solving problems. I love solving puzzles. And to me, this is just a giant, continually moving, three-dimensional and actually four-dimensional puzzle that I get to solve every day. And it's never the same thing. That's the great thrill of it. That is the excitement of it. One of the great things about working a tower is you get to see the airplanes. It had been a long time since, it had been 25 years probably since I had worked in a tower when I came back to work one. And it is different, and it is wonderful to see airplanes. I've always been fascinated with airplanes. And so that's one of the great things about working in a tower. And I must admit, I've had some fantastic trainers over the years, especially when I was starting out in a tower. A little story from Brownsville, my first tower. The textbook phraseology for issuing a go-around is go-around aircraft on runway. Well, when I got to Brownsville, my trainer said, you cannot say that. And I'm like, well, that's what the book says to say, David. What do you mean I can't say it? He said, you cannot say go-around aircraft on runway. I said, well, what am I supposed to say? And he goes, you have to say go-around, do not land aircraft on a runway. And some of you are thinking, what's the difference? Well, when you have international pilots, when you have student pilots, sometimes when you tell them to go around aircraft on the runway, they go around the aircraft on the runway and they land in front of them. Don't think it'll happen? I guarantee you. If you can think of it, it'll probably happen. So I never actually saw that happen, but then if I told them to go around, I told them not to land. I did not want to see that happen. But I have seen some other things in the towers that happen. I won't go into too much of it now because, you know, to be quite honest, that's a whole nother podcast. So at some point, I will have a podcast just about stories from the tower, stories from the center, stories from the academy. I've seen a bunch. So that is a lot of what it is to be working in a tower. When I was at Love, it was pretty much clear to land, clear for takeoff. There was no traffic pattern. There was no touch and goes. Where I am now, there are a lot of touch and goes. And not as much just clear to land, clear for takeoff. And so it's been different for me. I've had to learn a different way of working traffic. But that's what you do. You adapt or you don't take the job. I wanted the job here, so I adapted. And I had another good trainer. So it's a job that is fun. It's a job that has its moments when you are going to wonder if you're going to figure out how to do it, how to resolve the puzzle that is in front of you. But like I said, if you keep working and keep searching for an answer and just make it work, it will eventually work. Okay? The key is never give up. And that's whether you're in a tower, that's whether you're in a center, if you're at the academy, never give up. Keep working, even if you make a bad decision, because you're going to. The FAA knows you're going to, but you don't give up. You keep working, and you solve the mess that you just created. I've painted myself into a corner several times, and you just have to keep working to figure out how to paint yourself out of the corner. So that's the real key to being a good controller. Is never giving up and just keep looking for an answer. So, went over a little bit about what the positions are in a tower. what a normal shift looks like, some of the challenges that happen as far as weather, stuff like that. I will tell you, it's a lot of fun being back in the tower and getting to see the Dallas skyline. I am in Dallas. Getting to see airplanes again. They're not just dots on a radar screen. And so that is good. And you get to know the pilots. They get to know you a little bit. And so that's my take on what it's like to work in a tower. And so I invite you, if you do work in a tower, email me and we can share and swap stories. It's what controllers love to do. And you can also email me if you have any questions. You want me to go into more detail about what it's like to work in a tower? I'd be more than happy to let you know and answer any questions you have. And then I do just want to thank you again for listening to these podcasts, listening to me sometimes ramble on. But thank you so much. I've just been floored with some of the response. Please just continue to hit follow, continue to give us ratings, and just thank you so much. And invite you to listen to the next one if you're interested in what it's like to work in a center. And if you really want to know what it's like to work in a tower, I encourage you, call your local facility. Call and arrange a tour. They love to do tours, and so they'll be more than happy to. But thank you again for listening. And I hope everyone out there, hopefully someone wants to be a tower controller after this. I hope that you want to. I've loved it. And anything I can do to help you get into this career, that's what I want to do. But thank you again for listening. And I hope you have a great day. Bye.